Okay. Join with me as we pray over our word. What did you call this? Proclamation in the word or word from the Lord via bread. Lord Jesus, thank you so much. I did this last week, so thank you for answering my prayer. You gave us a good word last week through Pastor Brad. And Lord, we seek your anointing and for this, the words he has for us. We seek your anointing on his heart and his life and his message today. And may we receive it. May we hear you. And may you encourage his heart to let it rip. In your name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Tim. So a quick little follow-up from a couple weeks ago. I don't know how many of you guys heard me talk about Jesus. We talk about Jesus here sometimes, especially when we're preaching. You probably got that right. And you might remember that he healed people. He healed the lepers. And I mentioned that that was illegal, right? He touched a leper, and in his day, that would be illegal, right? Not just guidelines, but like illegal, banished from the community kind of thing, okay? So I likened our little mask situation a little bit to that. Jesus obviously came to fulfill the heart of the law, fulfill what's behind the thing, right? I want to be super clear. If you don't feel good, right, well, if you don't feel good, you know, we want to make sure. You're supposed to be thinking in terms of, I don't want to give somebody COVID even if I have it, right? Or even if I don't know that I have it. That's kind of the first thought, right? So the mask is supposed to do what? It's supposed to prevent you from spitting on people, okay? Now, is it perfect? We know it's not. Are you supposed to touch your face after touching the mask? No, you're not. Like, there's all of these different, like, layers of this thing. Is something better than nothing? Yes, it is. Right? There's that idea that something's better than nothing. But if you're sitting here so worried about the mask and so worried about how to stay in this confined space, what have you just done? You've put yourself back into the legalism. Completely the opposite of what Jesus came to undo. He's here about freeing us in our hearts. And then if you go back into some sort of a legalism, it is because you're doing it to honor the Lord. If you can't do it to honor the Lord, then you shouldn't do it. You should just take them off right now and just throw them down. I'm not interested in legalism. I'm not interested in oppression in this way, right? What I'm interested in is saying, hey, society has asked us with some guidelines to do a certain thing to try and help reduce a certain thing that's happening. Now, whether it works or not, I don't know. I'm not a scientist, and there's so many people that are arguing over this thing, I can't figure out what's what myself, okay? But what I'm super, super clear about is the Lord talks to you. We're wearing masks because I've asked you to, as your pastor, because I have some reasons for that, and we can go into those, and I try and talk about them a little bit and share them with you just so that I'm not this overarching ogre or whatever. But if you're here to heal somebody and that mask is in the way, get it out of the way. Your first priority is to impart Jesus Christ to one another. We are here to acknowledge him, to honor him, to glorify him. And whatever gets in the way, what does it say in Hebrews? Throw off the things that hinder. Now, I'm going to challenge you. If you're throwing it off just because you want to stick a middle finger up at the government, put it back on. Because that is not the heart of the Lord. That is not what we're about. We are about honoring the Lord. And I cannot see into your heart. I can ask questions. I can push on things. I can encourage things. But what my call to you is to listen to the Lord. Throw off the things that hinder, gather together with the idea that you're going to glorify him and heal one another, right? I love that song that Rick wrote in the prayer. What's that?
Destiny.
And let it, what was it? Let our understanding be our healing, right? Compassion rules the day. Jesus came to free people, not to put more bondage. And if you're feeling in bondage, let's have a conversation. Let's work it out. If you're going to, you know, fall over because you can't breathe in the stupid thing, then by all means, take it off, right? Like, let's have some understanding and some working with each other. But let's get out of the legalistic mindset. The other thing I want to encourage you is if the mask is getting in the way of you worshiping, ask some deeper questions. I think that for the most part, we can worship with a mask on. If it's because of the rules, then that's some stuff to work through, right? If it's because of some physical discomfort, work through it, right? We all have to work through stuff, and we're going to go into that a little bit today in the sermon. But I just want to give that really clear upfront understanding about what we're doing here as a community. And so when we're asking, you know, different questions about it, or we're having different complaints about it, run it through that filter. What is God calling you to do, and how is this somehow interrupting it as part of the community? I'm not talking about out there, like you might want to go protest until your heart's content out there. I'm not asking for protest here. I'm asking for you to listen to what the calling of the Lord is. Cool? Okay. That's sermon number one. Ready for another one? Okay. So you guys have to participate in it, and I kind of had to give that for this next thing anyway, so you'll see where I'm going with this. If you're on Zoom, we're going to break you up into a couple rooms. How many people do we have? We might just need two rooms on Zoom, it looks like, maybe three at the most. If you're on Zoom, well, okay, everybody, you're going to plan an event. You're going to plan a party, okay? But you have two categories. So I'm going to put you on Zoom as one category, and you are Olympic athletes, okay? Zoom, you are Olympic athletes. You're going to plan a 4th of July event, or maybe a tailgate party. You're going to plan a tailgate party for the Olympics. You're going to plan a 4th of July event that's at the Olympics. Let's say that, okay? Let's combine it. You're going to plan that party. So tailgate, get your tailgate brain on. What does a tailgate look like, right? So that's going to be, you know what? You guys here are going to do the tailgate here. Zoom, guess what? You're the Olympic athletes. You're the actual athletes. So you're going to plan the event from your perspective. So there's two different perspectives. What are the perspectives? You, the tailgaters, which are here in at the because you're tailgating, you're here already, right? You got your chairs, you got your food, right? So your drinks. So you guys got to put your mindset on, but please don't be like Christianese, right? Plan how you would plan a tailgate party if you're a tailgater, okay? And if you're on Zoom, same thing, except for what are you guys? You're Olympic athletes. So go ahead. Steven's going to break you up maybe in two or three different rooms on Zoom. And you guys pick a scribe, pick somebody to write things down. And you've got about 2 or 3 minutes, let's say. We'll say 5 minutes to plan this event. Okay? And so you guys here, let's break up into, would you say, four groups? Does that sound like that'll work? So everybody in that back corner around the tree, you guys plan. Everybody on that back corner around the tree, you guys plan. So make the tree kind of the dividing line. So draw like a straight line out, put Tyler in the back and put Tim in the back, right? So that's there. So if you're kind of, you know, in line with them, so maybe Scott's in the back and Danny's in front kind of thing. So kind of like that. You guys are split, right? You guys are going to be on this side. And you're going to be on this side. You could slide your chair one way or the other somehow, but that's a rough group, right? Does that make sense? If you need to recruit a couple people, it's fine. Again, we're not going to be legalistic about this, but you got to plan. Plan your party, tailgaters. Zoom, are you still with me? Are you guys trying to work it out? Yeah, 5 seconds. Five, four, three.
We didn't do too
one.
Good.
There you go.
We did our stretches.
We did our stretching.
We did our stretches. Perfect.
Some people are. Get some thumbs up, Allison. Okay. Okay, so I'm sorry. Did you give me a thumbs up, Allie? Or Marquita or somebody? Okay, good. You guys can all hear me. Okay, so let me have my Olympic athletes, just a somebody. Can you guys turn on Olympic athlete? Just a couple things from each of your groups. So whoever your scribe is, if you'll share, you know, handful, five, ten things about the group.
Can I share? I was the scribe for our group. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So we said at our group, water or Gatorade. And then we said, Eye of the Tiger playing or pump you up music, lean protein, complex carbs, smoothie shooters. And whatever activity we would pick would replenish the body. It would fill us, not take from all of our hard work. Maybe an infrared sauna. We would wear our team jumpsuits and use flags as decor and have Olympic torches.
Very good.
I don't know if the church heard, though. Was they supposed to wait?
Are you the athletes playing in the actual event from those things?
We thought that we were the athletes partying to, because we were stoked we were going to the Olympics. That was what we thought.
Okay, so just remember that. Who's next?
So, unfortunately, our group had a little bit of a feedback issue, so we spent most of the time trying to fix that.
Yes.
Have Jasmine mute.
So we didn't really
and we weren't it. Sure if we were like athletes or if we were planning a party. So we did our stretches. That's what we did.
That's actually great, Sue. That's great. That's perfect. Okay, somebody else. That might be it. Okay, so now let's have a couple scribes from the frat party types here.
Okay, got to remember this is frat party as directed by Brad, Pastor Brad. So we have a generator because we need a big screen to be able to watch the game or whatever. We have a cooler. We have a watermelon that's loaded with vodka. We have jello shots. We have hamburger and hot dogs, chip and guac. We have table tennis, ping pong. We have a jungle gym for the kids and a bounce house, water balloons, illegal fireworks, and you got to come in costume as your favorite Olympian.
Oh, that's fun. Oh, good, good, good. Yep. Tyler.
All right. So at our frat party, my mom is the leader. Cayman and Abby are on the music. Dad is on the grill. Jeremy is the mascot with the t-shirt cannon. Leilani is pouring drinks over at the bar. I am running ice drinks. I am running ice runs. We're going to have a dunk tank, beanbag toss, laser tag, water balloon fight. And we are all wearing our team jerseys and colors.
Oh, that's fun. Woo-hoo! Emily! All right, you get in line because Rick's got there first. Oh. You're fine.
All right. A lot of our stuff has been said, but we definitely would have some cocktails, you know, chips and dip, tacos. We'd have costume stuff like foam fingers to wave. We're going to be dressed up in our colors. The American flag will be there. And, you know, we'll have things like strawberries, blueberries, bananas. Make sure and bring some shade, pop-ups, umbrellas, invite lots of friends. Bounce house was said. Make sure people have sunglasses, sunscreens, have a boombox for lots of loud music, cotton candy, pop rocks. Is that it, guys? Is that pretty much? Yeah.
Okay, so we would have booze, trucks, an RV.
Booze, trucks?
Booze, trucks, an RV. We would have a grill, steak.
Who needs a cooler when you can bring a whole truck?
A grill, steak, chips, I think, oh, illegal fireworks as well. We were also feeling that. And Tim requested cocaine, so.
Whoa! Whoa!
All right, so we were writing all that down. Everybody's paying attention, right? So when we have our, you know, anyway, no, just getting on that. Okay, cool. So. This actually worked out really well, in a sense, that, thanks for kind of playing with it. This is part of the deal about kind of, you know, working with Zoom and stuff. And I want it to be, again, church, and I want us to be able to interact with each other. So I thought it was a fun way to kind of do this and also get us into the message. As a lot of you guys notice, there are different agendas going on here, but the similar event. Amen? Right? Now, there was some confusion on what the event was, and I loved what Sue said. What did they do? She just assumed that they're the athletes, so they just started stretching, right? And that's brilliant. If you're in the actual event, you think differently than you do if you're attending the event. If you have to run Olympic-style running, you're going to think differently than you will if you're just simply showing up at the party with your truck of alcohol, whatever it was, booze. What did you say, booze? She used a different word than alcohol. Yeah. So does that make sense? Your mindset is going to be different. Same event, competing values at the event. We're going through the book of 2 Corinthians. Most of you guys know this. We've been going through it for a few weeks, and I've been asking you to think in terms of if you being FWC, so we are Paul the Apostle, how is our mindset toward what this book is saying, right? So he's writing to the Corinthians. So we're thinking in terms of what if we're identifying with Paul and kind of comparing ourselves to him in that sense, not necessarily listening to Paul talk to us, but listening to how we should be talking to others. Yeah. So we talked a lot about different things about us being understanding that we are carrying around this treasure in our hearts, right? We are Olympic machines. Okay. If you want to look at it this way, I'm inviting us to identify now, right now, with the Olympic athlete, the opportunity to run in the Olympics. Think about that privilege. Think about how crushed those Olympic athletes were over this COVID thing. They've been training for 4 years, and some of them will not be able to do it again. Some of them don't want to, because why? They don't want to live the lifestyle that's required, right? Like, a lot of people want to be in the stands in the tailgate because they enjoy that lifestyle. They appreciate the opportunity to not have to bust their head open week in and week out and put themselves on the line. I'm going to start in chapter 5, verse 11. I'm going to back up just a little bit. And if you also remember last week, I told us and I invited us to think in terms of if you were an officiant, like if you're an ambassador for Christ, you're the one that's marrying or introducing people to Jesus, right? You're the one who's saying, you know, you're now man and wife. You're now, this is your God. You're now their kid, right? And Paul does this in a number of really cool ways in this passage. Verse 11, therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we try to persuade others, but we ourselves are well known to God. And I hope that we are well known to your conscience. The word that jumped off the page to me in that is persuade. We as Christians are trying to persuade people of something. What is it that we're trying to persuade them? We're trying to persuade them that God sees them, that they are part of the family. He's going to say this in a little bit, in a little while. For our analogy, we're trying to persuade you that you are an Olympic athlete. That whatever it is you're doing, you're missing the point. And if you don't think of yourself as this incredibly fine-tuned spiritual being that God has made you through his blood, through Jesus Christ, right? You are free. And I don't care. A lot of times you think in terms of athletes, right? Paul does say in another place that we're to run the race like we're trying to win it. Okay. But then we get in this all this kind of comparison mindset, you know, well, some people are better at running than I am. That squirrel would outrun me in any race, but he's just here for the peanuts. He's here for whatever you guys drop on the ground from your tailgate party. Right. But the squirrel went behind you. I don't know if you saw that. You're like looking up like, what is he talking about? Squirrel literally just walked right underneath your chair and up the thing. So, but anyway, she's thinking I'm a squirrel, but she's probably right. Anyway, we think in terms of winning it, and then we start comparing ourselves less than or more than, right? Great analogy. I've always loved this. Adam Ayers told us this one time. He says, Michael Jordan could jump pretty high. Right? This is back when Michael Jordan was relevant. Now it's who? LeBron James, whatever, right? Can jump pretty high. Anthony Davis, he's tall and he can jump really high, right? So it's even that way. But when your goal is to jump into the moon, right? It's silly to start comparing. We need Jesus Christ to be able to jump and touch the moon. Jesus Christ, the blood, that is the whole thing. The whole idea is that we are now empowered. We are supercharged, amazing athletes. And so Paul's trying to persuade these people. And that's his whole focus, right? Verse 12, we are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you an opportunity to boast about us so that you may be able to answer those who boast in outward appearance, but not in the heart. So he starts to differentiate. It's the nice analogy, but it's really this thing that's going on inside us that I can't really articulate. And he's throwing a lot of words at it. Have you ever tried to explain how the gospel works? It's really tricky. I mean, if you really get down to it, especially if you get someone who's good at asking questions, it can get kind of fuzzy really, really easily. But Paul does his best. And he keeps moving the analogies around and switching them up, trying to point to what this thing is that you can't really see. Verse 13, but if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ urges us on, because we are convinced that one has died for all. Therefore, all have died. He's going to give the explanation another try here. And he died for all, so that those who might live no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and was raised for them. Your Olympic athletes, your agendas now are conformed to a certain focus. It sort of excludes a lot of things. Now think about the things you put on the list, right? Like with the beer truck and the, you know, the watermelon and all that kind of stuff. All of a sudden, you're going to go run a race after consuming these things. How fun is that going to be? Anybody try to get up the next morning after consuming some of these things? I know some of you have. Nobody raised their hand. How about Zoom? Keep switching over. I try to look at the people on Zoom and then I keep switching over and I'm looking at myself. I want to see you guys, right? So see, Marquita's hand is just up. So I can ask a lot of questions right now. But anyway, verse 16, from now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view. So the thought there in our little analogy is, once you were tailgaters, but now you're not anymore. You have to think differently. We know him no longer that way. So if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Do you hear that? Everything is old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We get to win the race that felt impossible. So many times you sit in that stand and you sit at that tailgate because you know better, right? Amen? We know that we're not going to win. We're not going to get on that track with Usain Bolt. Usain Bolt, if you don't know, is the fastest guy in the world as of my last, but that's old news. So I'm sure there's somebody else that might be, but he's amazing, right? Like, I'm not going to outrun, I can't even outrun my son anymore. And he's very proud of this fact and likes to bring it up often. I can still beat Quinny on some days, but she can outrun longer than I can. I get a kick out of her. We go hiking and she's like, can you carry me? I'm like, no, you need to carry me. You are way more endurance built than I am. Right? But with this weird analogy thing, we, through his power, through his glory, through his grace, we get to run. Now, I don't know what your Olympics is, what that means to you. Olympics, to some of us, we're not athletes, right? So that's kind of a blah, blah, blah. But there's something in us that is calling us, and he's going to get to this in a very cool and powerful way. And in fact, I'm just going to borrow from Quentin. The fact that you've got a home, the fact that you've got a father, the fact that you've got somebody who was watching, that testimony was just beautiful. Amen? We all have our version of that. That God has seen you, that he has rescued you, that he has made you somehow clean and new. The dogs are excited about this. I want you to be excited about it. They'll learn to love the Lord when they get to see him. If they're not careful, they'll see him sooner than later. No, just kidding. Just a joke. I was joking. We'll stop there. But chapter 6, verse 1. As we work together with him, we urge you to not accept the grace of God in vain. Again, think about it. You've been offered a chance at the Olympics. How do you treat that? How do you treat the opportunity that the Lord has given us? We get to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ. What do we do with that, right? He says, at an acceptable time, I listened to you, and on the day of salvation, on a day of salvation, I have helped you. See, now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. Do you hear the urgency in that? We sort of kind of like, well, we've got time. We can, you know, I'll get around to it. I should get in shape. I should lose some weight. I can get back out on the track, you know, stretch our legs, you know, those kind of things, right? He says, no, the urgency is now. One of the fun things, I was talking to Ian's batting coach, and he was talking about different ways to train. And he's like, the best way to train for hitting is hitting. Hit the ball, right? I don't know if that's true with wrestling, but probably the best way to train and get strong for wrestling is wrestling. You know, it develops the muscles. Now, can you do other things? Sure. But by and large, it doesn't really help if it doesn't do any good on the mat. It doesn't really do any good to be strong swinging a bat if you can't actually hit the ball, right? There's a coach that has this great little saying, because all of us dads are all into getting the $400 bats. You know what I mean? Those real expensive ones. They said a $4 bat isn't going to help a $400 bat isn't going to help a $4 swing, right? We have an urgency, and the way that we get in shape is by doing the thing. We can't wait to get in shape. We can't wait to get more training before we go out and do it. We get trained by exercising. Same thing with parenting, right? You don't figure out, you can read some books, you can kind of do it or whatever, but you really learn how to parent by being a parent. You learn how to worship Jesus by worshiping Jesus. Is it hard sometimes? Do you have difficulties and things going against us? Yeah, guess what that does? Makes you better at worshiping Jesus. If you push through those things, if you put your heart out there, and I'm not saying it's easy, right? It is painful to carry around some of the things that we carry around, the struggles. This thing, I forgot to take it back off, right? I was going to do that, but could you guys hear me even through it? The point is it triggers so much inside us. This whole society thing is only revealing, we've said this many times, revealing things inside us. And if we blame COVID for all the stuff that's coming up inside us, we're never going to actually let the Lord do the work inside us that he wants to do. He's giving us an opportunity. It's a blessing. COVID is a blessing to the church if they want it. Instead of being angry and bitter and we could say, God, what do you have for us? See, now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. We are putting no obstacle in anyone's way so that no fault will be found in our ministry. But as servants of God, we have commended ourselves in every way. So here's the training regiment. You want to be an athlete? Guess what? You're an athlete, whether you like it or not. So now what? Through great endurance and afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity of knowledge, patience, kindness, holiness of spirit, genuine love. See, the first list is interesting because that's all hard. Like, who wants to sign up for that? See, this list is a great thing on this. If you ever read The Weight of Glory, it's online. You can find it. It's free. And he writes this whole thing about how if you ask most people, they would say unselfishness is a great virtue. He's like, no, it's not. There's no virtue in unselfishness. He says, just withholding stuff from yourself, nothing good out of that, right? What's good out of it, he says, what the problem is we don't desire high enough. We don't want bad enough because we get caught up in the unselfishness. In other words, why not go after love and let all of life constrain you toward that? All these things still happen. Life still happens to us. In fact, at heart, if you're sober at a party, it's a lot more difficult than being drunk at a party. Because you got to take care, you're cleaning up, you're worried about things getting broken. Like, it's just way different being sober in a world of people who don't want anything to do with sobriety. I know you're in the sun. If you guys want to move, don't feel bad. I don't. I'm just watching. You guys are like melting over there. That's the cool thing about being outside, but it's also the difficulty about being outside. So yeah, so if we focus on the list of the endurance and the afflictions and the hardships and the calamities, we kind of talked about this before. If we focus on all the things that's hard about being married, we're never going to get married. And so many of the world does that. So many people in the world just focus on why that's a bad idea. But if we focus instead on what? I want patience. I want purity. I want kindness and holiness. I want the Holy Spirit. I want genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God. With the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, it's a battle to walk that path. It's not an easy thing to be an athlete. But there's joy in it. There's glory in it. And his glory is just not even close to the analogy that I'm talking about. It's way, way better. In honor and in dishonor, in ill repute and in good repute, we are treated as impostors, yet are true, as unknown, yet we are well known, as dying, and see we are alive. How cool is that? We're going to walk out of this thing alive when it's all said and done. Not just COVID, the whole thing. We're going to walk out of this thing alive. All of the pain, all of the hardship, all of the trauma that we've endured, he's going to turn that. In some ways we've gotten evidence that he's already turned it, but he's going to turn that in a way that we could never imagine. Allie, are you still there? Where's Allison? Do you have that quote that I sent you and Ian handy? Do you have your phone right there?
Yeah.
The quote that I sent, Roosevelt quote.
Yeah.
If you don't, that's fine. He says, we are treated as imposters, and yet we are true. As unknown, and yet we are well known. As dying, and see, we are alive. As punished, yet we are not killed. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Can we find the way to rejoice? Or do we just stop at sorrow and victimhood? Right? And I'm not saying you're not victimized. Don't hear that wrongly. Because things happen, right, that should not happen. But do we stop there or do we go and get healing? Do we dig in deeper? As poor, yet making many rich. Your sacrifices are for other people in ways that we will never know. You will touch people's lives in ways that you will never see the fruit but they will be rich because of what you have done, because of that moment where you've decided that I'm going to focus and be single-minded on this athletic thing. I'm going to free them. I'm going to redeem them, right? I'm not going to redeem them personally, obviously, but I'm going to introduce them to the one that will redeem them. Having nothing, yet possessing everything. She's off. Did she come up with that quote? Do you have your phone, Ian? No, that's all right. I just thought it's a good spot for that quote. Oh, brilliant. I have my phone. Good call. I have it right here. Did she get it to
you? Now we see the inside of your book.
Thank you. You're in the darkness, but let me bring you to the light. See, there's a difference when you're standing in the stands and you're watching the games and you're sort of longing and wishing to be there. And it's even worse if you know that you should be there, if you should be competing. Roosevelt says this. Many of you guys will recognize this. It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how strong men stumble or where the doer of the deeds could have done them better. The credit goes to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes up short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming, but who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least he fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold, timid souls who know neither victory nor defeat. Isn't that a great quote? Doesn't that say the difference between getting in the game and just watching it? We do a lot of things. I need to just think a second for right now. Just in your preparation for worship this morning. Not to be shaming. I'm not interested in that. That's not the point here. It's just to take an inventory. How did you prepare to meet the Lord today? How did you pray? How did you come here? What was your disposition? What did you have to go through to get here? Not just here at the Learning Center, but on Zoom. Were you able to meet the Lord? Did you jump in? Did you participate? I didn't ask if you were successful, right? I'm asking, did you struggle? Did you fight the fight to get present with the Lord? Because if you did, even if you failed gloriously. Because you got in the game and you wrestled with it and you did the best you could. Because the goal is not to be able to, the goal is always to touch the moon, yes? Jump as high as you can. Run the race as though to win. But let's be honest, some days, you're just not Michael Jordan. Right? It's not easy. There are things that are in the way, but it's the fight that matters. It's the battle. It's the orientation of your heart. We get legalistic about things on the external because we measure everybody by external things, but God measures your heart. He knows you. He sees you. Cain and Abel, remember them, right? He comes with a full heart to the Lord. And it might have been crap that he brought the Lord from a worldly standpoint, right? But God was honored by what he brought. And Cain could have had this great thing. He could have had this big, awesome production and had perfect pyrotechnics and the greatest show and party and the whole thing. But there was something missing in his sacrifice. And he turned bitter and he eliminated the competition. We're not here to eliminate the competition. We're here to join in the competition and to build each other up. And to sacrifice our needs and our heart and our rights for others not just here in this building, but for people outside. How did you prepare? And even if you didn't prepare well, did you know that at what point did it switch for you that you knew that you could meet the Lord anyway? Do you know that sometimes you're going to show up? You might even be physically drunk after drinking that pineapple drink of watermelon or whatever, right? Come anyway. Come anyway, because guess what? God might meet you even in that. He meets us in prison. That was testified already, right? One of my favorite things, I've said this a million times. One guy, Steve Pirowitz, preached here. We were the first church that he got to preach to after he got out of prison for like 28 years. He had been a Christian for 20 of them and a pastor in prison. First words out is like, it's a little weird for me to talk to you guys. I'm used to talking to people who actually killed people, who actually raped, who actually, you know, did things that put you in jail for many years. And obviously he wasn't in jail for, you know, stealing cookies. You know what I'm saying? But the redemption, God met him and he turned it into something beautiful. And he turns your worship, your struggle, even if you show up broken in a mess, the goal is maybe you walk out of here healed and put back together. If you're following with me, we're on verse 11. We have spoken, chapter 6, verse 11, 2 Corinthians. We have spoken frankly to you, Corinthians. Our heart is open wide to you. There is no restriction in our affections, but only in yours. In return, I speak as to children. Open wide your hearts to us also. What I hear in that, the only restriction for you to be able to run this race and to be fully engaged in the life of Christ are the desires, the wanting the watermelon over the being in the arena. Wanting to have all of the things that compete against you. I was going to read this. I won't go into it right now, but I'll just remind you of the parable of the sower. Remember the parable. There's like four different ones. What are they? Anybody remember them off the top of your head? Hard ground. The ravens come and take it away off the hard ground. What else? Weeds grow up and choke out, which represent what? The cares of this world. And then there's ones that reproduce. Was there two other soils? Rocks, rocky ground, and then some of it just got blown away. I think that was the ravens, right? All of those different places are the same. They all result in the same end, the word not taking in, right? So you could just substitute it. Well, that one's a keg of beer. That one was, you know, my comfort. I would want to rather eat. What did she say? I'm sorry. Cocaine, yeah, somebody wanted that more than they wanted, you know, like all of these things, right? All of these things. My career, I need to make money. I need to have my rights. I need to, you fill in the blank. Whatever it is that competes with you being wholeheartedly before the Lord in worship with his fellow believers. What is that that gets in your way? That is what constrains you. It's not the rules being put on you. We're just simply saying you're going to grow in strength through this endurance, for this regiment, through this strength. Verse 14. Again, and I want you to hear this as being just very binary in where is your commitment? Are you in the stands or are you on the field? It says don't be mismatched with unbelievers. Don't, you know, be an athlete. Get in there. For what partnership is there between righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship is there between light and darkness? What agreement does Christ have with Satan? Or what does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of God, as God said. Let me pause there for a second. We are the temple of God. But before that, think in terms of your relationships to people. Are they to coddle their bitterness? Are they to excuse? We have a really sad story. A friend elder of his church left. Not here, just so we're clear. Elder of his church left. The reason that he left was because the church would not protest like John MacArthur's protesting. This is the head elder of the church saying, it's more important for me to protest with some other church than it is to care and be about the believers in his charge. Now, I can't say what God told him. I can't do that. So there's a chance there, and I got to leave a little bit of room that God told him to do that, okay? But my point is, unless God spoke to you to do that, how are you making that decision? What rights are you putting above the unity of Christ and being with other believers? Pouring your heart out, pushing through together. It was a big deal. Daniel could probably tell you more about this. He knows, you know, scholastically more, but it was a big deal to get baptized again if you walked away from the faith after being persecuted. Why? Because the people that went through the persecution were having a hard time with the fact that they checked out of persecution by renouncing Christ, and now they want to come back in. Well, no, you have to get baptized again. Why do you have to get baptized again? And this whole argument kind of comes out of it. Is that a crude way of doing it? But basically, it's challenging on your brothers and sisters if you check out, right? And guess what? On the other side, grace has to be given. We don't want anybody to be excluded. I don't want my bitterness over your redemption. Even if that means I got persecuted and you got off scot-free. I want that. Now, I don't get persecuted. I have had the easiest, wonderful life I've ever. I'm just waiting for the shoe to drop. You know what I'm saying? Right? But it's not easy all the time. It's not simple. We know that. But it is so much more fun to fight together and to be in it with each other and to push through and to go through the hard things. It's fun to make jokes about the stupid mask and blah, 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 knowing that we're kind of in it together. It's fun to make jokes about how we have to figure out how to dance together in this mess. And, you know, I love when Riley just pours her heart out up here last week, or what Heather does, well, every week that she's up here. And sorry, I don't mean to embarrass you, but it's beautiful. It's only because it's beautiful. And for us to do that, Robin, and like over and over again, you know, and some of you guys more subtle, like I'm not saying you don't do it, but there's just something about when they wear it on their sleeves. It's an amazing, amazing thing. And there's a thing that binds us together and unifies us in that. And then when we're a voice out in the public, right? When we're sharing that there's a Christ that died for people, that made people alive, that you can come, that we have actually a home here that we've built. We're a bunch of knuckleheads that don't know how to use pyrotechnics and different things like that. We try. Rick's great at it, but then he can't keep up with me because I change things on him all the time, right? But, and Steven and everybody like that. But there's something that's kind of cool about that too. But it's not about how good we pull it off. It's about us being in it together and knowing who our God is and knowing that this heart thing is bringing us alive, that you get to be an Olympic athlete, whatever that means to you. But this is what it means to Paul. And it's amazing and it's beautiful. We're being prepared for something, people. And Paul says it like this. For we are the temple of the living God. You are the temple of the living God. God showed up here and smiles on you. I don't care how rebellious you feel, how angry, how frustrated, how happy you are. That's great. Great news. This is what God says to you. I will live among you and I will walk among you. I will be your God and you shall be my people. Therefore, come out from them and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch nothing unclean. Then I will welcome you and I will be your father and you shall be my sons and my daughters, says the Lord God Almighty. Since you have these promises, since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of the body and of spirit, making holiness perfect in the fear of God. We've been invited to run with the Lord. And the only thing that holds us back is us really, one of two things. I don't know, maybe multiple things, but one thing for sure, the only thing holds us back is either we don't believe it, we don't believe that he has called us to this. And what I mean is called us is this wonderful life. Yes, the endurance and the hardship and all that stuff kind of comes with it, but it's there anyway. Life is hard anyway, whether you want to look at it or not, or, you know, numb out, that's your call on that deal, right? But it's an invitation to be at home, free, alive, in a way that is amazing. And I know, and we talk about this all the time, but God has never failed us yet, right? How many of you guys would acknowledge that God has never failed you yet? See that hand, Tim? Move up slightly. He's thinking about it. Bless you guys. Marquita, I told you I'd give you a good question. Her hand is up. So is the host. You guys see the host up there? His hand is up. Is that Captain Morgan? Something like that. He has never failed us yet. If you can declare that, you can say with confidence, come and follow me. Hitch your wagon to my train. I will show you how to run. I will show you how I run. And I know that God's grace has caught me every time so far. I may miss one here and there, but guess what? That's where the grace kicks in even louder and bigger. I want us to have that boldness that you can invite. I'm not worried about it. If you want to invite them here, do it. Because why? We know God shows up here. But I want to invite them mostly to know the Lord. Don't let them harbor the bitterness. Don't have conversations with people that end in you going, okay, well, each his own. Like, gosh, get in the grit. I'm going to pray for you on that. I'm going to try everything I can to convince you that forgiveness and love and grace is the way to go. Because that's the only thing that really is going to get us anywhere. I was thinking about this clean thing and what we put in our bodies and how we prepare. Allie and I did this 30-month or 30-day thing of clean living. I know the Warners did it recently. The Allertons did it. Many of you guys, I don't know, any of you guys else do it? Yeah. And you kind of feel the difference, yeah? You feel what it's like to put some of the crap in your body. And I think about how often and this is even before 30, I would go to McDonald's and get a quarter pounder thinking it was the greatest thing ever and then like regretting it for like 2 hours afterwards. It just doesn't sit well with me, but it sure tastes good going down. It's not good food. It's not Olympic athlete food for sure. And we feel these sorts of things and we put our time and our energy into diets and, you know, like Brendan Manning says this, he says, if America spent as much time and energy on their relationship with Jesus Christ as they do their diets, man, what would that church look like? If their values were put in that way, if we put as much time and energy in preparing to meet the Lord on Sunday as we do in practicing our guitar, in preparing a sermon, in setting up, if we put this much time into meeting the Lord, I'm not saying don't do that. Maybe, right? If we have to choose, I'm saying choose meeting the Lord. Oh, I got to study the Bible. I got to make sure I get all the parsing right of the verbs and all the stuff that actual scholars do. I don't do that. But I read it a lot and try and find little nuggets and all this kind of stuff. But it's when I sit with the Lord that the real magic happens or miracle happens. I'm not supposed to say magic. But, sorry. So many times I remember that scripture, it says what? It says, you search the scriptures because you think in them they're, you know, you're going to find life, but they're that which testify to me. And I love the analogy of just sitting there like, oh, I'm looking at pictures of God. I'm looking at pictures of God. God's like, I'm right here. Spend some time with me. Oh, no. I'm looking at pictures. I'm studying you. I'm getting to know you. God's like, I'm right here. I just want to meet with you. I want to be your father. I want to be in love with you. I want you to be in love with me. We spend so much time on so many different things. I've spent way too much time on politics this week. I promise you that. I found some really cool podcasts, but they were not as cool as just spending time with the Lord. I promise that. Let's pray. God, I pray for this church. I pray for myself. That we stand boldly and frankly, and we declare your glory and your kingdom of reign here on this earth. That if people want life, that they could follow us and we could lead them to you without question, without doubt. Give us that conviction and that courage. Let us realign our values to train and run the race like we're going to win. Let us walk away from the tailgate party in that sense. God forbid we be the actual athlete at the tailgate party just because we doubt we could win, because we don't have faith in you to carry us and to make the difference. We need help on learning to love you, God, but we also know that it takes practice. So in that, I pray for us to practice loving you and loving each other in that. I charge us with that, even in prayer. But I also ask, will you meet us in that? Will you meet your people as we step in that? Strengthen us. Make our muscles strong. Train us appropriately in your name. Amen.